Dinner? Moloch? Lucita's mind spun giddily. He's here in Rome? He flew in this afternoon and insists on having dinner with you, both of you. But I'll have to change. Your clothes will be brought to the embassy. You are to be the guests of the Soviet Union. He reached out a heavy, thick-fingered hand. Lucita shrank back from him. He hesitated, then gestured toward the front door of the lobby. A black limousine waited just outside. Lucita scanned the hotel lobby desperately. No policeman or guard was in sight. The room clerk was busily ignoring them. The concierge at his delicate little desk had his back turned to them and his ornate telephone to his ear. The Russian made an impatient, urging movement of his hand. Feeling trapped, Lucita started for the door, trailed by the two men and Teresa. "I bring you greetings from your father," Moloch said, smiling broadly. He was standing by the sun-streaming windows in one of the embassy's huge, high-ceilinged drawing rooms, his golden hair lit by the radiance. He looked strong, confident, and pleased with himself. "He's very upset with you, you know," Moloch added. "I have written to him," Lucita replied, as she crossed the long carpeted floor toward the Russian. "He knows where we are staying. He could have telephoned or written back to me." Moloch took her hand and pressed it to his lips. They felt cool to Lucita's skin. "Is it true," he asked in a lower voice, "that you ran away from Caracas to escape from me?" She wanted to say, "Do not flatter yourself." But she felt afraid of this man, who had the power to whisk her out of her hotel at the blink of an eye. "I left Caracas because I needed some time to think. Some freedom for myself," she replied. He nodded, as if accepting her excuse for the moment. "I have instructed one of the women servants to help your aunt unpack your things. You will have adjoining rooms on the third floor. I think you'll find them quite comfortable." Lucita said, "I was planning to return to Caracas in a few days." His eyes widened in genuine surprise. "Oh, no, you mustn't. I won't hear of it. I have planned a trip for you and your aunt to Moscow. Your father has kindly given his consent."
"To Moscow?"
"Yes, and perhaps Leningrad, if you like." Lucita looked deep into the Russian's ice-blue eyes and suddenly realized that for all intents and purposes, she was Vasily Moloch's prisoner. Chapter 15. "What are you doing here?" Dan blurted as he stepped through the doorway into his quarters. Lucita turned from the window and the panorama of the vast and beautiful earth passing below. "I am on my way home," she said. "I am returning to Caracas and my father." She looked different, no longer defiant and angry. The fire in her eyes had been replaced by something that Dan could not quite define. Bitterness? Fear? Despair? She was wearing soft, loose-fitting slacks of deep blue that tucked into low-heeled boots and a silver mesh blouse with a high mandarin collar and button cuffs. Her gleaming black hair was pulled back and tied into a long ponytail. In all, Dan thought, she seemed quieter, more guarded, more mature. "You've changed," he said. "I have been to Russia. Vasily took me to Moscow and to his home in Orel. We even went to the rocket launching center at Baikonur." Not a smile as she spoke, not a hint of gladness. Dan went to the liquor cabinet that stood behind his desk. "Would you like a drink?" "Anything but vodka," Lucita said. And a wan smile flickered across her lips. "You didn't like Russia?" He found a bottle of Amontillado, not his favorite brand, but the best he had up here at the space station. "I was treated like a princess everywhere I went." Pouring two glasses, Dan said, "Moloch gave you the royal treatment." Lucita sat wearily on the small curving sofa next to the window. Dan leaned across his desk and touched the control button that darkened the polarized glass. Newcomers to the station had been known to get nauseated from seeing the earth lumbering by out of the corner of their eye. He brought the glasses of sherry to the sofa, sat down next to her, and handed her one. "Salud," he said. "Zavashya zdarovya," Lucita replied. "You've learned some Russian. More than I will ever want to hear again." "You didn't enjoy being in the workers' paradise?" Her eyes showed a spark of their former fire. Then she saw from the grin on Dan's face that he was being ironic. "As I said, I was treated like a princess. I was guarded night and day, not allowed to set a foot anywhere unless it had been planned and prepared for ahead of time. Vasily was a wonderful host, and it is clear that he is a very important and powerful man, but there is no freedom in Russia. Not for me, at least. Dan sipped at his drink. Have you ever been there? Lucita asked. No, I was all set to go once, years ago. I was still working for Yamagata Industries then. Nothing but a salaried mining engineer who had put in a tour of duty on the multinational mining facility on the moon. There was a big international conference on developing extraterrestrial resources being held in Moscow. I was invited to attend, sent in my reservations, and had everything confirmed. What happened? He laughed. In the 6 months between getting my reservations confirmed and the opening of the meeting, I made my first $1 million. So you didn't attend the conference? No, no, the laughter died. They wouldn't take me. I was a filthy capitalist. They wouldn't let me in. Lucita looked surprised. Dan explained. The Russians had pressured the United Nations into letting them take over operations of all the lunar mines. The multinational corporation that had been operating them was squeezed out, and it went into bankruptcy. I got some Texas friends of mine, including Morgan Scanwell, the president. He wasn't president then, just governor of Texas. We bought up the multinational's assets for something like 2 cents on the dollar.
And that made you rich?
The corporation had an asset that was worth billions. A UN approval to establish a factory in orbit for processing lunar ores.
Ah.
Understanding dawned in Lucita's eyes. By the time the conference in Moscow was ready to convene, my share in the old corporation stock was worth more than $1 million. It was all paper, of course. But to the Soviets, I was suddenly persona non grata. So they refused to allow you into the conference. Dan laughed again, more bitterly this time. They didn't even allow me on their goddamned SST. My ticket with Aeroflot vanished from their computer's memory bank. My hotel reservation was mislaid. My entry visa suddenly had to be re-examined and wouldn't be ready until after the conference would be finished. They still owe me the cash deposit I had sent them in advance, the cheap sons of... The sight of this Yankee billionaire being still indignant over a few dollars after so many years made Lucita laugh. Dan grinned back at her. That's better. I was afraid they had taken the laughter out of you.
They did, she admitted. I've just gotten it back again, thanks to you.
Was it that bad?
She grew serious again. I felt as if I was being smothered. Every day, every night, I could feel them watching, listening to every word I said. It was frightening.
I had thought they were loosening up, Dan said. They've got nobody to be afraid of now. They've won the Cold War, and nobody can possibly dare attack them.
We were in Moscow, Lucita told him, and Vasily took me shopping to a magnificent department store. It was incredibly beautiful, with crystal chandeliers and the most luxurious things I've ever seen. Jewelry, perfumes, clothes.
A government store?
She lifted one hand in a gesture that said, let me go on.
A young policeman stood on duty outside the main entrance. He must have been new. Perhaps this was his first day on the job. I noticed him as we were looking at jewelry at the counter just inside the store's front windows. He was staring in at us, but not at us, really, at the merchandise.
His eyes were as big as saucers.
Dan nodded. Never saw anything like it before, I guess.
I didn't think anything of it, Lucita went on. We spent almost 2 hours in the store.
Vasily was showing off. He offered to buy me anything I wanted. I had to be careful not to show too much enthusiasm over anything, because he would order the clerk to wrap it up for me and send it to my hotel.
At the taxpayer's expense, muttered Dan.
As we were leaving, it must have been time for the police guard outside the store to be changed. There was an older policeman there, talking with the young one. It seemed to me they were arguing, but their voices were too low for me to tell.
Dan finished his sherry and started to get up to refill his glass. But Lucita put her hand on his to hold him at the sofa.
The young policeman, she said, suddenly intense with the memory of it, started to go into the store. His partner tried to hold him back, but the young one pulled free of him and opened the door to go in.
Uh-oh, said Dan.
He got about 3 steps inside the door when a pair of store guards ran up to him and began shouting at him. He shouted back. They tried to push him out, and he began to push back at them.
What was Malik doing?
Lucita said, his limousine had pulled up and he was helping.